Welcome to the Wonders of the Year podcast, your essential weekly nature brief, guiding you through the changing seasons. Each episode dives into the latest seasonal developments. We cover the joys of living in the natural world, from updating your holidays to seasonal eating to fascinating bits of information that enrich your understanding. Our discussions are designed to equip you to fully engage with and connect to the cycles of life. I'm your host, Brooke Rushing. In this week's Nature Brief, we'll discuss an increase in animal activity driven by seasonal breeding and the emergence of hibernators, plus the start of rainbow season. We'll be continuing our odds and ends segment this week, and finally, we'll close with some thoughts and anecdotes. Today marks March 18th, 2024, the third full week of March. This is the 89th day of winter's 89-day journey. Today's the last day of winter. This week we will gain 9 minutes and 42 seconds of daylight, with an average increase of 1 minute and 33 seconds per day. Tomorrow is the spring equinox, the first day of spring. If you want to learn about the difference between astronomical and meteorological spring, you can find that information in our first episode, Season 1, Episode 1, titled Welcome March, Emerging Spring. It's time for our nature forecast. Have you noticed more animals around lately? If not, you probably will soon. That's because we're right in the middle of spring breeding season. Throughout the winter, many animals, both big and small, have been hunkering down in dens, following their basic survival instincts to get through the colder months. But now, they're driven by a different instinct, reproduction. Animals can be split into two main categories when it comes to breeding: seasonal breeders and non-seasonal or continuous breeders. Seasonal breeders are those that mate during specific times of the year, when hormone production allows fertility, while non-seasonal breeders can mate year-round. Among the seasonal breeders are some known as long-day breeders, and others short-day breeders, referring to the length of day as determined by the season. Long-day breeders typically have a shorter gestation or incubation period and need to mate in the spring and summer. What triggers these animals to start breeding? Well, it can be the length of daylight for some and the availability of food for others, or a combination of several factors. Regardless of the specifics of the combination, these animals are being physiologically primed for breeding through hormone secretion. They breed aiming to maximize the survival chances of their offspring. Breeding during the warmer months ensures that their young will have access to abundant food, water, and suitable temperatures. While some are going through the mating rituals when it's obviously warm out, others have fallen pregnant in February and January, and will produce the first young early in the season when animals venture out of caves and dens to explore the fresh world. We couldn't enjoy the sight of new critters and delight in the continuation of life if these animals hadn't taken measures to survive over winter. Let's take a look at this preservation strategy and explore the top layers of hibernation. Hibernation is considered a seasonal adaptation, a survival strategy used by select animals to conserve energy during the colder months when food is scarce. This state of deep sleep allows animals to significantly reduce their metabolic rate, body temperature, heart rate, and breathing rate. The length of hibernation can vary from a few weeks to several months, depending on the species and environmental conditions. Typically, animals prepare for hibernation during fall by eating extra food and storing it as body fat, which they then use as energy during winter. They find or often create a hibernaculum. That's Latin for a winter tent or winter living quarters. It's a place that provides protection from the cold and predators. Bears are perhaps the most iconic hibernators. In Yellowstone, grizzly bears tend to excavate dens at the base of large trees. They dig an entrance, followed by a short tunnel just large enough to accommodate the bear's body, before opening up into a large chamber. The chamber, if efficient, will be angled upward slightly to trap the body heat and then be lined with vegetation to trap even more. In contrast, small mammals that experience lower body temperatures compared to the bear enter a semi-hibernation state called torpor. Chipmunks, ground squirrels, and dormice, for example, must awaken every few days to raise their body temperatures, move around, urinate, and eat. But bears don't need to wake up from hibernation. They enter a state which they do not eat, drink, urinate, or defecate for months, relying solely on fat reserves for nutrition and metabolic water production. During this period, female bears may give birth to and nurture their cubs, all within the confines of the den. Grizzly and black bears alike begin emerging from hibernation early to mid-March. Males are the first to appear, followed by solitary females and females with yearlings or two-year-old cubs. Last to emerge from mid-April to May are females with newborn cubs. Overall, the hibernation period can last around 5 months, but shorter and longer durations are common based on latitude and resources available. The average day's den for females with newborn cubs is 171 days. Males have an average of 131 days. Upon waking, bears experience a slow transition back to normal activity. Initially, their diet is light, consisting of mostly grasses and other available vegetation, before they return to a more varied diet. Rainbow season is upon us. Let's unravel the mystery of a rainbow. At its core, a rainbow is a natural spectrum of light that appears in the sky when sunlight shines through raindrops. It showcases a seamless band of colors: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, arranged in that specific order from top to bottom. But do you remember how rainbows come to be? Rainbows occur when sunlight and rain combine in a particular way. Sunlight, which might seem white to the naked eye, is actually composed of different colors. When the sunlight encounters raindrops, each raindrop acts like a tiny prism, breaking the white sunlight into its individual colors. This process, known as refraction, bends the light at various angles, with each color bending differently. Red bends the least, while violet bends the most, creating the spectrum of colors we see. Rainbows are not limited to specific seasons or times of day. However, the essential conditions for a rainbow include both rain and sunshine, factors that occur in warmer seasons. Interestingly, rainbows can also form at night under the light of the moon, and these are known as moonbows, a rarer but equally fascinating sight. While we typically see rainbows as arcs or semicircles from the ground, they are actually full circles, meaning they don't have a beginning or an end. The reason why we don't see a complete circle is due to the horizon blocking the lower half. However, if you're fortunate enough to view a rainbow from a high vantage point, like an airplane, you might see its full circular shape. It's likely that you've also seen a double rainbow. This happens when sunlight is reflected twice within a raindrop, creating a second rainbow outside the primary one, with its colors mirrored, violet on top and red on the bottom. The second reflection will be fainter than the first. What's even more interesting is that no two people see the exact same rainbow. Each observer views a different set of raindrops at varying angles, making each rainbow sighting uniquely personal. The position of the sun in the sky affects the rainbow's appearance as well. When the sun is lower in the sky, the arc of the rainbow will be higher. Conversely, a higher sun will result in a lower arc. To preemptively spot a rainbow, be sure to stand with your back to the sun and face the direction of the rain. This is the optimal position for rainbow sighting. With rainbows to look forward to, baby animals, and animals coming out of hibernation, it really does feel like the world is coming back to life. It's time for our odds and ends segment. Did you know that chipmunks can gather up to 165 acorns in a day? That's an amount equal to half of its winter needs. Pretty impressive. Right now, tree sap is on the move, channeling vital nutrients and minerals from the roots to the budding leaves of trees. Among the various types of tree sap, the sugar maple stands out for its popularity. Its sap, which is 98% water and 2% sugar, that's exceptionally high, can be tapped and harvested. Through the process of evaporation, the sap is transformed into maple syrup, reducing its water content to 33% and increasing its sugar concentration to 67%. With the season in full swing, it's time to enjoy some fresh syrup. Do you remember seeing, likely in the early 2000s, hanging on little end caps in grocery stores or convenience stores, rabbit foots? I do. And I came across this quote from R.E. Shea that changed my perspective. It says, "Depend on the rabbit's foot if you will, but remember, it didn't work for the rabbit." In other rabbit news, are you familiar with the jackalope? A hare, legend to be seen with antlers? I'd love to know if you know it, and if you don't, would you like to hear it? Did you know that March was once considered the first month of the year? It's true. March was the first month of the Roman year until the adoption of the Julian calendar in 46 BC. March was known as the beginning of a new year, where symptoms of growth take place after the death of the year before. France made the change in 1564, when Charles IX decreed the French year should begin January 1st. Despite the change, some traditions still carried on. Homes, for example, were to be leased yearly, beginning on March 25th. Okay, time for our last segment, where I share some of the reflections I've had while writing this episode, some of my favorite memories, some of the memories that haven't been buried yet. If it hasn't been clear so far, spring is absolutely my favorite season. And what comes with spring are rabbits and bunnies. I have always loved rabbits and bunnies. There's very little to dislike about them. Their bouncy energy and presence brings a warmth to any land. One spring day, I was exploring the edges of my childhood home and came across a cluster of tan, gray, and white wild baby rabbits huddled together and alone in a patch of tall grass. With no mother in sight and fearing they were in danger, I carefully scooped one of the two up and cradled it in my hands. Taking the most careful steps towards the house, I imagined myself a gyroscope for this baby, making sure not to bounce or jostle the kit as I made my way to the sliding glass door. Carefully over the lumpy grass by the tree line and across the gravel driveway, being sure not to stumble, through a gate and up the steps. My mother was surprised, but not upset to see what I had brought her, and told me to put it back. Back I went, taking my time, saying goodbye, wishing well to my new acquaintance, soaking in the moment to admire its soft fur, and to stand by on watch to see when the mother rabbit would return. As always, it's been a pleasure to journey through the season with you. Join us next Monday for more. As the sun sets on this episode of Wonders of the Year podcast, we close this week's journey through the evolving landscape of nature. As we part ways, remember that the story of nature continues to unfold around you. Take a moment, step outside, breathe fresh air, observe and cherish these changes. They are, after all, the heartbeat of our planet. It's my hope that today's episode has kindled a spark of inspiration within you, and in the coming week, you will see the world unfold with ease. Thank you for joining us on the Wonders of the Year podcast. We'll be back next week to share more stories and to continue our collective journey through the seasons of our environment.